Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
It's time for Scuttlebutt Ultras. Quick takes from our Patreon Ultras, sharing their soundest thoughts straight from the heart. Your voice, your moment.
Hello and welcome to what do we want to call it? A mini-sode? A breaking news episode of Sounders Scuttlebutt.
hey, how's it going?
I'm your host, Cameron Collins, with my co-host here, Alex Diaz. What's up, Alex? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Just wondering how we went from having one goal yesterday to having three today.
I think that's the news we got to start with, right? It's right off the bat. Stephen Fry signs a 2-year deal with the Sounders. Looked into it a little bit to try and figure out his contract, but you know, the people I spoke to who usually would be in the know don't know. So we can say that we'll get that information and we'll talk about that because I think that number changes the perception of this deal. But also, we signed another dude, right? Or we took on his contract from the Whitecaps.
Yeah. Max Anchor.
Yeah. I mean, what a great name for a goalie, right? Like Anchor on the defense right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Young, 21. He was pretty cheap. Rumors, whispers are saying 111K.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could probably look at it. We basically pick up his contract. So whatever he was getting paid by the Whitecaps is what we'll pay him. And until the end of the season waivers go, which we must have really liked him because he could have been a free agent immediately afterwards. Like if we didn't pick him up and no one else did, anyone who doesn't get picked up in end of season waivers, who's been, hasn't had their option picked up or who's cut by their team immediately becomes a free agent, except for he may not have been old enough to be a free agent. Was one thing we were talking about off mic just because of his, he doesn't have enough service time.
Yeah, no, and he's 20, yeah. Barely, probably 21. He's a 2004.
Yeah, I think great. Let's start talking about him. Great signing. Seems like he was young youth player of the year. I don't know in what context though. He only played 9 games in the Canadian Premier League last year, but he did play for Vancouver Whitecaps too. I assume they're in the MLS Next Pro, aren't they? Maybe they're not.
Yeah, in the MLS. Yeah, MLS Next 2, and then he went over to Pacific FC in the CPL, where he won Young Player of the Year.
Nine games, kind of wild. He must have been quite significant for them. But yeah, I mean, seems like a pretty great signing and probably a player that you want starting most games in Tacoma, right?
Oh, here it is. He won the team's Young Player of the Year.
Whitecaps Young Player of the Year. Oh, for Pacific.
Pacific FC.
That's pretty great, though. I mean, if that means he came in and had an impact. And we've seen some good, a little bit older, but Osaze came from Baby Dero came from a Canadian Premier League team when he signed with us.
Yeah, so I think they're kind of saying, you know what, let's try this pipeline again. He'll probably play on Tacoma more than likely, get him some minutes. But it's great that we signed Fry, that we brought him back, because now he gets to mentor two goalies.
We don't know the numbers, I got to say, it's interesting. You see some of the fans online a little upset about it. But for me, it's like, why would you not want a player who could start for half the teams in the league as your backup?
Yeah, let alone the captain of our team. Yeah, I think that we see Fry week in, week out, and we know that if we didn't have Andrew Thomas, Fry would be our starter going into next season. But that just goes to show how good Thomas has been. And he's been, he's been consistently, getting better and better.
I'm curious about the deal, though, because I mean, there's some people, Dan, who don't have a lot of faith in the front office right now and think they will make bad deals. And this is not Dan. Dan likes this deal, right? But to me, it all depends on how much they're paying him and what did they promise him. If they said, you're the definite starter, I'm against the deal. If it's for more than a backup goalie or a 4A goalie, like someone who in baseball using 4A, like someone who's too good for AAA, but is kind of the low man on the totem pole on the MLB roster, like I'm for that too. I mean, you're not paying Andy Thomas that much. Andrew's not getting paid that much. So you can splurge a little bit, but it frees up a ton of cap space. Fry's contract was huge before. So to me, it's kind of, what's that number at? And I mean, you were saying like, you're fine with it being an open competition.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to make it an open competition, that's fine. Let the, best keeper win. Personally, I want Thomas.
Absolutely. And I think for me, it is that Thomas's upside is so much higher right now that even if Thomas is a little bit less in certain areas, he's more in other areas. And that tiny bit of drop off, I think, is okay because throughout the season, he's going to develop better. Whereas, unfortunately, and I know this as a older gentleman, Fry's just going to continue to go downhill. And that's nothing. It's Steph. That's just what happens to your body when you get old. My knees are not. I did lose a bunch of weight in my 20s. If I had lost weight again in my 30s and was playing soccer every week, I would be much more skilled than I am now trying to play in my 40s.
No, yeah. And I think we come to find out that Father Time has been undefeated. And it happens to, the best of them. They all tend to slow down. And there's going to be a drop-off in their level. And it can even be like a split second in decision-making. Maybe that's what he lost. He lost his decision-making and his, the first step.
I think that's fair. I mean, we saw it a few times this year. And to be fair to Stefan, some of it was when he came back from injury and we put him right back in there. And I asked Jackson Feltz and he said, you should ask Craig. And then, the few times I've ran into Craig, he's been with people. So I didn't want to bug him. Like I just said, hi, like he was with a family. I assume it was his, but, the last game, the home game, Minnesota game in the playoffs when I ran into him, But I wonder why they don't, like, couldn't he have just gone and played like two or three games at Tacoma to get back up to full speed? And then maybe our perception's a little different because he doesn't make those mistakes that he made at the beginning of coming back from injury, when he got knocked out, essentially.
Yeah, but I think there were still...
He wasn't the same throughout the season. That doesn't make him not a club legend. You know, he, of all players that I've gotten a chance to know a little bit, and, you know, I obviously know Steve Zakuani the best. I've spent more time with him than anyone else. But, you know, I was on the COVID relief committee with Steph. I spent a lot of time talking to him at the logo when we changed our logo and released that, all that stuff. I had a chance to talk to him there for a while. He's always been open and honest, and like he would even be like, yeah, this was when he was signing his deal before, like, yeah, we're really far apart. Like, I don't know if it's going to get done. So it'll come down to, did the Sounders pay a premium to stay him, or did he give us a little bit of a hometown discount? Because, like, he doesn't want to leave here. He built his house here. Like, he could easily become, I don't know him as a leader. I've never spent time with him in that context. But I don't know if he's a good coach, but I could easily see him coming in under Tommy Dutra and coaching if he wanted to.
Yeah, no, I think maybe they found some middle ground between, you know, the promises made and the hometown discount. Yeah. I'm sure they met somewhere in the middle. Because we heard some whispers of a number.
And those were just
official yet.
People with conjecture, right? There was no...
Yeah. It's like the whispers of the Rashford transfer.
That was so take funny it with asking, grain of salt. Asking Aiden.
But I think...
I didn't. I think Nicholas might have, or Muffin Top Model, perhaps. Tim did, but specifically asked Adrian about that in a meeting once. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that you guys had a good chuckle. No, I mean, Steph's great. You know, he's done so much for the club. But it's like, all the great clubs, they know when to move on from their legends. And at the end of the day, you have to... No player is bigger than the club.
I mean, we're finding that out with Mo Salah right now,
at the
right?
end of the day, you have... Yeah, with Mo Salah. Or, you know, might as well just get into it with the whole Rotherham.
That's an interesting... And we don't know a lot of the backstory on this. I've only spent a limited amount of time with him. We're talking 20, 30 minutes total. But in that time, he seems like a really stand-up dude.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of the same.
One of the nicest
vibe that I
guys
get
I've ever met on the Sounders. You know, that the other people aren't nice, but he is true. Like, you know, he came and he asked, I don't think the players necessarily know the difference between all the supporter groups. But he came and asked about former ECS Tom Biro, former president, who had been in a...
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
An automobile incident, who was in the hospital, and he asked how he was doing and asked me about that. And it was cool seeing Tom at the final home game of the season in the playoffs. But it's, you know, for him to like even be aware of what's going on in that context, even if he doesn't know like, oh, the difference between the supporter groups, is super cool. And so I'm curious, A, how much the agent he's involved versus the agent, because some players are very hands off and have nothing to do with it. Say, this is my preference, but go do your job. Then also what the Sounders are offering versus what he's being offered somewhere else. Because if they're offering him backup money where he can get starting money somewhere else, you got to let him go as the Sounders. And it makes sense for him. Okay, I'll leave. Plus, I mean, he's been gone before, right? He went away to college. He went away to play for Toronto. But still, there's something about playing in your hometown where sometimes it feels good to kind of take off.
No, yeah. And I just think that he's what?
Yeah, he was a late
25, 26. He's a late bloomer. So if he's going to go get his payday, his big, you know, his big money move, this is, you know, the time to do it. Because you don't know if he's going to have, if the next season he's going to be, have better numbers or
worse. And from that perspective, he can make enough money with this contract to set himself up for the rest of his life if he has a good money manager.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes we struggle with, you know, I'm sure a lot of fans have Rothrock as their favorite.
We both have Rothrock jerseys.
And you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
We both have Rothrock jerseys, but I understand that there comes a time like that sometimes the players have to leave. You know, like I grew up as a Barca fan. I grew up watching Messi, you know. Messi was a, you know, Barcelona player through and through, and it was sad to see him leave the club, but that's just how it is sometimes. Sometimes and there's things that just happen, and at the end of the day, this is a business. And that's why I'm able, like, you know, it's like, okay, it sucks that we might lose Rothrock, but if someone else is going to pay more and he's going to play more, be a starter somewhere else, then
it could not even be about money. It could be about playing time. Because he's not going to get a free pass to start here. He's not. I mean, he won't get it anywhere, but he's far enough down the pecking order with a healthy Pedro, who won't be back at the beginning of the season, but still. And then Jesus Ferreira. We know Rusnak can play on the wing. You know, he's fighting for minutes with Georgie. Yeah, and then Areola's back,
and
too.
Areola's going to be back. And Areola was starting over him.
I think the Sounders probably make it to the MLS Cup if Areola is on the team. I think.
Is that with healthy Pedro or without point.
Healthy with Pedro? With healthy Pedro.
Because I don't think we get past
Vancouver. That's a fair point.
Vancouver.
Too. Yeah. But we at least advance. I mean, the one thing is, you know, I was talking to Edgar from NAG, News Across the Galaxy, the LA Galaxy podcast. And he said, here's the thing about the Sounders is even without like a quote unquote superstar, there's still this gritty team that when Brian Schmetzer's the coach, you can't count them out in any game ever. And so I get that that's our identity, but we don't have a Thomas Mueller. We don't have a Dennis Bwanga. We don't have a Son. Like, Pedro could be that, but he wasn't there for the playoffs. Ferreira could be that, but he hasn't continued to develop at that rate.
I kind of feel like he's going to have the same kind of trajectory as Pedro did. You know, first season, you know, oh, he's a bust. And then the second season, he just, you know, he starts, you know, getting goals and assists. And let's just hope he does.
I mean, if the Sounders go out and sign a number 9, that puts Rothrock even further down the pecking order with Jordan going to the wing.
Yeah. And maybe with some of the moves they made this offseason so far, And maybe they go back to a 3-5-2.
Yeah, it could.
Where they have
but we also don't have two strikers. I mean, we let Misoski go, didn't we?
I mean, we have...
Oh, we got him back. We brought him back.
No, we have Musto. We brought him back. I'm sure they're shopping him around. But, I mean, what he was producing on, you know, for cheap, I think.
This year, compared to... Yeah.
You know, he had similar numbers to, like, Sam Surridge, which I like Sam Surridge. I liked his style of play, you know, tall, physical... almost like a fox in the box, a poacher, which is kind of like the striker that I think that we need. Where their purpose is not to be, you know, helping the build out. We have players that can do can help in the build out. You have Rusnak that can carry the ball and pass the ball. You have Jesus that does the same thing, and then you have Pedro that can dribble,
Areola can
and break
do
lines
both.
With his dribbling. Well. All we need from our nine is, you know, go stand on the edge of the box. When a cross goes in, go and header it in.
Yeah, I think
so. That's all you got to do.
There's two different players that can do that, though. It can be a little guy like Raul or like Danny. He didn't score all the goals, but Danny was in all the right positions like Raul always was. But Raul put those goals in, whereas Danny, you know, like in the playoff game at Minnesota, misses the header. So I think you have that player.
Yeah.
Or you could sign a big center forward like what Osaze is trying to be, but bring in a proven one and someone who's big in the box and you can cross it to and will head it in. That kind of player. Someone who can body those defenders a little bit.
Yeah.
I personally would like to see both. I mean, do two strikers at the top, have one little guy and one big guy.
I mean, we've seen when we put, you know, two strikers, it worked. Like against Minnesota,
yeah, it was very
we used
interesting
strikers,
though because they weren't
and,
central.
You know, we were able to,
like, Danny's on the wing.
Yeah,
and
but
then
again,
that,
if you have two strikers,
and then Jordan's on the wing.
The thing is, like, the way that I like, if I have a two striker set up, I would want them to be like interchangeable in positions.
Yeah,
because if they're both narrow. They're going
to
run into each other's space.
One time they tried to do it with Jordan and who was it that he played? Maybe Adeniran.
It was either Dero or Moose, but it was the first time they tried it.
But then they also, but even they did it for a few games in previous seasons, and same problem. So.
Yeah, because you almost want to have them play off
like
each
Dempsey
other.
And Oba did. I know that's before
like,
your
okay,
time.
I'm gonna stay.
If you could go back and watch some of those highlights, there was not a more fun offense to watch. Yeah, I mean the Cruz Azul game this year was pretty fantastic, but as a whole throughout the season, there was not a more fun offense to watch than the 2015 Sounders.
Yeah, and yeah, it was fun, but. But yeah,
that was before
my time.
I think you're right, though. Like,
no, and I just
we need a piece to do that, or Osaze has to develop.
Which look, Jordan can still be in. You could if Osaze develops, but that's going to take time, maybe 2-3 years down the road. But Jordan's probably not going to be here. If he is here as a DP, then we have a
unless
problem.
I mean, the weird thing about him is
as a DP,
he had no left foot. And you don't develop a left foot late in life as a soccer player. And then suddenly, last year, he develops a left foot. And it's like, what in the world is happening right now?
I think he, he always had it. He just didn't want to use it. I think he wanted it.
Yeah,
he wanted
but
to
that was
the
always a big
shots.
Knock in his scouting report. That was something that you would hear from soccer, like, talking to people in front offices, talking to team presidents and general managers around the league. That's what they've said to me before. And I've been lucky enough to spend some time with some just based on, you know, the Sounders, obviously, but based on some stuff I've done with other teams as well through Sounders. And yeah, I mean, it was a knock on him. And it was the same knock on that he only had 1 foot for Jovan Jones as well, which was interesting because we tried to bring him back as a TAM player, him and Fry, and the league said no, would not let us make them TAM players.
Hmm.
No, they were less
considered DPs.
They didn't think they should get paid that much. So they rejected TAM. So we wanted to sign them to bigger contracts and then pay them down below the minimum, below the maximum. And the league was like, no, you can't spend that much on those players. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It probably worked in our favor. And that's also, maybe that's a game. I can't say I know that, but maybe you know the league's going to reject it. So you sell the players that, and then you're like, well, we can't do it. So I got to pay you less.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, thing is, I'll be interested to see what he signs for. And we, unless it becomes public, we may not know that until the MLSPA releases the salaries partway through the season. But yeah, it'll be an interesting number and what he's promised from Bruce Arena. And as much as I don't like Bruce Arena, and I don't know him personally, obviously, I only know him as seeing him on TV and the head coach. Mm-hmm. And I didn't love him as a USA coach, even though he coached, no, was it him or Bob Bradley that was the coach when we were number four in the world? Either way, he's like probably the biggest name in US soccer history as a coach. There's no bigger name. It's him. Obviously now, Berhalter, but it's him and it's Ziggy.
Yeah.
And Ziggy never coached the national team, but he won at every level. He won multiple MLS Cups with, I think he won two in Columbus. He won the national championship at UCLA. He worked with the US youth system, like royalty in the soccer world. So there's something we said to learn from Bruce.
Isn't there another one? Is it Julian
Klinsmann? Yeah. Klinsmann, I mean, but he was not.
Yeah.
He was a USA coach, but he was a German soccer player who was kind of Hollywood and came and coached the USA. I wish they had made the GM position at US soccer then, because he was amazing at bringing players in. I didn't love his tactics on the field. So whoever Eddie Stewart or whoever became the GM, they should have made Klinsmann the GM as a promotion, had him manage the entire team, but then have a different person do the day-to-day tactics. Because he brought in players from other countries, which is not something we do anymore. And maybe it's because we're a better team. But he was able to get all those young, like, German players whose dads were from military bases, U.S. military bases. And we missed out on them. I mean, who was it? Is it De Rossi? The forward for Italy, he was starting for Italy for a while, was born in New Jersey. Like, how did we not get a World Cup starting player who was born in New Jersey and let him go play for Italy? They never even invited him to a USA camp.
Yeah.
There's also, I think, a Serbian or a Croatian player, similar thing. There was a defender, same thing. It's like they did such a poor job back then. Yeah. And that was the one thing I really,
with recruitment. Yeah, I think the federation just was not in a good
place. Yeah, and I still question
as it is now,
kind of where it's at. They're doing a lot better around making the sport more accessible. But if we truly want to compete on the world stage, we have to make it much more accessible. And I still think they're focused on raising money because they're a nonprofit and then using that money, where I think they need to do more for the game, making it cheaper everywhere.
It's so crazy how expensive it is to play club soccer, which is the only way you're going to get, seen.
I mean, both your brothers play MLS Next.
Is like, both of them play MLS Next. And, if we weren't, blessed and lucky enough to have, people that sponsor, help cover the cost. I think just to register for one season for MLS Next was over $2,000. And that doesn't include travel fees.
And your one brother was playing in Seattle, uniforms. Right? So he had to drive for hours.
Yeah, so he plays in Seattle. We got to drive. Luckily the coach is like, since you're from Yakima, you know, just practice there.
Yeah.
And you just come down for the games. But even like now, right now he's in Arizona.
Nice.
In a tournament.
Although they're all, I mean, we talked about this the other day, how everything's getting messed up with the birthday shift, where now you have to play with your age, and they changed the date. So players that are up a level, you're going to have to move down a level. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting what ends up happening as far as what they decide for them. Maybe they will put them both in Yakima.
I did see a, I know a player who played in a youth system who was always the best player. And then once he got put with older kids, struggled because you were no longer the best player in the team. It reminded me of going to law school and always having been the smartest kid, and suddenly everyone in the room is the smartest kid. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah. No, yeah. And the way that I see the whole club youth soccer system right now is that it's all pay to play. And you're missing out on a huge, you know, landscape of talented players because they just can't afford it. It's like we can be the same as if you go to Brazil and you walk the streets, you got a bunch of kids playing soccer that are talented, you know, they're doing tricks that you only see in
it is changing though. Dave Zirin wrote a book called what's it, The Devil in Brazil? It was about the 2014 Olympics and the World Cup and how they were using neoliberal policies to tear down the favelas and build fancier stuff. And along with that, there was a move to no longer have Brazil's Dance with the Devil, the Olympics and the Fight for Democracy. So Dave Zirin, there's no longer open space for kids to just go play. And I think that's something the Sounders, like that's why they're building, 52 fields around the state by the World Cup.
I think we have 1, 2, 3, 4. I can think of 4 off the top of my head of the fields that we have. But that's most true. Of them are on school properties. And sometimes their fences are locked. So, like, they're building you're going in the right direction. We have all these fields, you know. On the west side, you guys have these beautiful turf fields. But you can't access them because if they're either locked and, you know, you might run into the wrong person. And they're gonna report you, say you're trespassing. When all you're trying to do is, you know, just kick a ball around with your buddies, you know, or work on.
That's the nice thing about the ones that are at schools that are public in Seattle is they're run by the Seattle Parks and Rec. So, you're supposed to book it, but if no one shows up and the field's open, you can just go play. So that's what we do in pub league sometimes because we don't, for these few months in December, we don't. Or like end of November, beginning throughout December, we don't have our main field that we usually play at. So we move around a little bit.
And it's like, I sometimes I go and, you know, play pickup soccer in this, we found this Facebook group where we go play at, you know, some of the public parks, just, you know, throw down some mini goals and, out of bounds is.
I did that at Green Lake. I set up a practice where we just went out. It was harder on my knees though because I've been playing on turf, and I need knee surgery on both knees technically, but insurance won't pay for it. Thanks, American healthcare system. So because I'm not old enough, because they don't want to pay for it twice, right? So I have to wait until I'm in my 60s, which is a long ways away. So it's wild, but I am going to get a different. Procedure done, some PRP injections to help, but I might miss the first week or two of pub league because of it. But I think it'll make a big difference long term. So, I did that though. We just set up at Green Lake. Set up. I brought goals, but then we put those down and just were able to play right there. And we had our little area, and there was other kids in other areas, and it was cool. Like. That's something that's always been key in a lot of these countries. And sadly, Brazil privatized so much of that space. And we see it in a whole thing where they, I don't know if you remember this story in San Francisco, some tech company created an app for reserving the field, but like it wasn't, it was kind of messed up because then they just came and like, we have the field, but like the local kids who would come there every day and play were just being kicked out. And they were like, what the hell? Like, we don't know about this. This is our field. So we saw, I guess a lot of that's happened in Brazil. So that may be why they're not as good as they used to be.
Yeah, they lost their magic. I feel like they also went away from their Yoga Bonito, what they're known for. They don't, to me, they don't have the same style no more. Because it feels like all, the thing is that you have the South American flair, and then they make the move to the big European clubs where, you know, some of the systems are focused on tactics, almost systematic robotic play. So they lose that.
I think a lot of the star players, you know, through the time where they were still amazing and winning World Cups or losing to France in the final, they did have a lot of players in Italy, and those players played well. So I wonder if there was something about the way they played in Italy at the time that was conducive to their style versus now where, I mean, Neymar's old now, right? But yeah, I guess he's back in Brazil finally. But didn't he spend a couple years in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, he went to Saudi, but he didn't really play much. He was just collecting paycheck. And what's so crazy is that, you know, he went back to his, you know, youth academy club. He was playing on a torn...
That's right.
At Santos. So he was playing on a torn meniscus. And he did that to save his club from not getting relegated. He scored
That's probably why someone... Like I saw a video earlier this week of someone offering him a knee. And he... And he was like, do you have two?
Yeah. It was like, if Pedro asked me for my hamstrings, he can have mine. Yeah, he can have
mine.
But
yeah, I mean, to bring it full circle, there is a pay-to-play issue in the United States, and I think it's getting a little better, but it needs to get a lot better if the USA is going to compete.
Yeah, and, you know, we're gonna find out how good we really are this summer.
Which right now it looks like we're pretty good. You know, for me, I mean, I think we're probably a top 10 team in the world. If we're playing like we are, maybe top 8, but I don't know what they have to play perfectly to get that far.
Yeah, I think we can make a quarterfinals if we play our cards right.
We should have made the semifinals against Germany.
That's when...
Back in was it 06? Yeah. 02. Back in 02. No. Yeah.
Oh,
02.
I was just,
Germany commits a handball on the goal line. The goal doesn't go in. Were you born yet?
No, I was, you know, I was in the little ball.
That was a wild little cells. Yeah. So that was when the USA was at its best, and they should have been in the semifinals and got screwed out of it by the refs. Then in 06, played well, but red card up a man on Italy, and then we get a red card and screw it all up. Like, then was it 2014 when they're up on Ronaldo late and then he scores the game tying goal? They're gonna beat Portugal. It's rough, man. It's right before they scored, he wasn't yet president, but later became president of Gorilla FC, started chanting, "I believe we will win," which is my most hated chant. Because it's just like, why don't we just be like, maybe we can do good. I believe it. I don't give a fuck what you believe. Just say we will win.
I you know what? But I like when you talk. College says it. Like in basketball. I mean, I like hearing it in basketball.
Yeah, it's an American, like it started an American troops. Football chant. That's where it originally started, which is another reason I don't love it at soccer games. But I don't care about belief. Just go do it. I believe we will win. Go,
you know,
blue. It's the same bullshit.
Green. Well, it's like, okay, so what? So yeah, what are we gonna chant? Red, white,
USA
blue
is fine. Blue,
go Stars.
Blue.
No, it's. I mean, since we're on the topic of the U.S., I like.
Yeah.
What Pochettino is doing, I feel like he's widened the player pool, and he's really changed up the, you know, what was the core. And he's made our, you know, some of the superstars, you know, really, you know, try to earn their spot, because we last thing we need is these superstars to feel entitled just because they're in Europe.
That makes sense.
And it's like, what, every country has their own style of play. What is the U.S. style of play? It's having that, you know, gritty, hardworking, you know, we're going to physical, keep the game tight, and, you know, get a scrappy goal.
But there's...
That's what I think
they
of
have
when
skill
I think of the
on
US.
A level they haven't had before, though, I will say. I feel like it's more... There's more skilled players. And we see that where they're playing around the world. You know, there's never been a Pulisic player. I mean, Dempsey was good, but Pulisic's ceiling is so much higher.
Yeah, just... The thing with him is that he just has to stay healthy. That's and get hot at the right moment.
Yeah, well, that's what Christian Roldan's for. That's why Poch loves him.
Yeah, and Berhalter.
Oh, Berhalter's hot right now.
Man, I still think of when I saw that free kick he scored. I just thought of the Toni Kroos free kick in the World Cup. It was almost the same.
Speaking of World Cup. I think there's one more day where you can put in for your tonight and tomorrow. We're recording on a Thursday. Friday today. Yeah, we're recording on a Friday where you can get your ticket requests in to buy tickets to the World Cup. Already 2 million tickets sold. I think I'm going to go in and put in for a few Seattle matches and maybe a Vancouver match. We'll see.
I think I'm going to try to see if I can get into the
USA
versus Australia.
Although
game.
Australia is like, everyone thinks it's easy. We're going to come after them.
No, yeah. I think our group is tough. And at the we've seen it before. Yeah. The game's not played on paper. You know, it's 11v11 on the field. You know, you got to suit up the boots and go put in the work.
Absolutely.
And get the result.
And I think that Poch is the kind of coach who will force that to happen. He's not going to let them just cruise, you know?
Oh, yeah. We saw how he was answering some of the questions he got after the World Cup draw. He's like, no, we got to work hard and be ready to beat these guys. We're not automatically going to win the group just based off what we saw in the draw.
Totally. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I'm excited to be able to go to at least one match. But who knows? Maybe there will be more.
Yeah, I'm just excited that I'll be able to experience, you know, a World Cup at home with the top 16 team.
It's going to be Haiti versus Haiti versus
Cape
Verde.
They're
both going through.
Because I have a coworker that's from Haiti, and you know he's all excited.
I'd love to go to the Haiti Brazil match in Philadelphia. It'd be so much fun.
I think that would be.
Oh yeah,
I think Brazil will win.
They should win by
on
a
paper.
Lot.
They
it should
be
a
win.
Blowout, but it doesn't mean it won't be fun.
It can be. It, who knows? Maybe Haiti.
That's the kind of game. If I'm a fan though, and I'm expecting to get blown out, unless we're gonna win, I don't want it close because I just want to have fun. And the closer it is, the later in the game, the more upset I'm gonna be when we lose. That's the Mariners fan in me. just lose right away. Be down two goals right away. So you're in this party and enjoy it. Yeah.
That's why you pre-funk at FanFest. That's what I'll do. If I'm going to show up to the game nice and...
I think the USA-Australia match is at noon.
Having fun already.
Yeah.
it's 8 o'clock somewhere. Or was it? It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Yeah, that's why they have
fair,
mimosas.
It's fair. It's noon on a weekday. Not that that means anything to me as someone who makes my own schedule. And then when I do teach, I teach at night most of the time.
No, and it's Friday. Friday is the first day of the weekend for me. Because, well, I mean, I work on Fridays, but by the time it's 2 o'clock and I'm home, it's already the weekend.
But yeah, lots of breaking news. We just wanted to jump on and talk about it, even though we just put up a new episode yesterday. I figured we can't let time go without talking about Steph Fry coming back and all this stuff.
No, we're going to find ways to, you know, keep these episodes coming and be more, try to be more consistent.
And I know Aaron's been very busy. So like, we haven't had like the original host episode for quite some time, but we're looking at recording one sometime soon too. So there'll be more of those eventually as well.
Yeah. So that way we can, you guys can go over the,
It's going to be really interesting because, there's some prizes to give out.
Yeah.
I don't know who won. I know the prizes though. I know that there's full team autographed jersey.
You know the prizes.
From when Raul Ruiz Diaz and Nico was on the team.
Yeah,
Bruce Lee kit.
Bruce Lee kit.
I mean, the fact that it's got Raul and Nico is such an amazing thing. Like, I mean, Jordan Morris, Christian, all the guys are on there. So,
yeah, it's a great piece for someone to have. Whoever took first, you know, they did, at the end of the day, you know, they earned.
It was probably Roma. 6-year-old won the whole thing.
And only played a few weeks. Imagine that.
No, I bet you Dan's near the top. There's some other people that are near the top. Dan had that huge run in mid-season where he was winning every week. Yeah.
Yeah, because we won a slump.
No, then he started picking us to win, though, too, when we started picking it up. So he knew.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting because, we have to get that out and announce the winners now that the season's over and then probably start prepping for next year because before we know it, preseason is, usually it's February, like mid to late February, but maybe it starts sooner because of the World Cup break. I don't know.
Well, we have to get ready for Champions League.
I wonder where that game will be.
The winner.
Because we play beginning of March. Or March 12th, I think, Champions League.
Yeah. Yeah. We heard, some whispers of T-Mobile, Spokane, Vancouver, down in our...
I can't imagine they go to Oregon, Vancouver just because it's a different country.
Well, we could give them two home games if you think about it because we play the winner of Vancouver.
Yeah,
and
they're never
going to
do that.
So it's either... Spokane or if they can figure something out with T-Mobile or down in, Portland.
It's coming down.
It would be fun. It would be funny to play in Portland, though. imagine as a...
Especially if it's been...
Portland.
I mean, it's going to be Vancouver.
Supporter that you have Vancouver and Seattle
I would
playing at
love
your
that.
Home stadium.
Maybe I'll text Taylor Graham and tell him, please make that happen.
Because then we can just chant songs about how we
Portland. That's like going to a Thunderbirds time. Anytime you're not playing Everett or Spokane, you're chanting about your hate for Portland. And the breakdown where the you go, Portland sucks. Portland sucks. Even if you're playing like Kelowna, you're chanting Portland sucks.
Yeah. When does the season start for the Thunderbirds?
Yeah, because they're playing right now. Kraken are playing. The Torrent are playing. They set the record for the largest women's hockey crowd in U.S. history at their opening game. 14,000 or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good. So, do they still do roller derby?
I haven't seen it as much. But I think it because they did it at Key Arena for a while. So I think once they had to move out of Key Arena and they moved to like, I think they moved down south towards White Center. It just wasn't the same, right? Because you're not playing in the premier arena locally. but
yeah,
that was fun.
Because I remember that. I think there was like a league down here in Yakima, but that just kind of stopped too. So I'm like, well, maybe instead of doing roller,
They're out playing hockey now. Rat City Roller Girls was the local league in Seattle. They were fun. I went to a few matches, bouts. I don't know what they
races. I don't know. Yeah, what they fun. Do. I just know they skate, yeah. And hit each other.
It was fun, but not as violent as it is in the movies or in the TV. They did some pretty funny TV episodes where, like, I think it was a CSI where someone died at one of them and they had to like figure out who the killer was. Silly. But, yeah. Well, I think it's time to get out of here, but we'll definitely do more of these and with breaking news and get them out as soon as possible.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, next time we have a chat, we figure out what's going on with Obed. Maybe we'll get some news on what's about Rock.
For sure. Where can they find you? The Discord? Yeah, join the Patreon.
Discord.
Didn't play the ad. Discord. Short episode. But yeah, tune in. Hang out. Come over to the Discord. We have lots of good conversations. See everybody next time.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.